Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Miss your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcast from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
MoreLikeRadio.com, a new standard in internet radio.
Tattoos and Touchdowns.
Best-selling show!
Mark out radio with Big T and Dark Fox.
Masters of None.
360 on 420.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
It's Lust and Love Radio.
Ham Radio.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by Volume.
This is Unsigned with J5.
It's time for Dutch and Royce.
Three speakers with Lance and Kyle.
Get ready for Hippo Juice.
It's the Red Show.
It's Daytime Divas with Marianne and Kitty.
Welcome to the Gentleman Show.
Welcome back to the Ellis and Albert Show.
This is the Fifth Circle.
Radio Meltdown.
Radio.
The Nerd Hour.
You're checking out the Cousin Joe Show on More Like Radio.
More Like Radio!
Obviously, I was... never mind, I'm not going to explain it, but...
No, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin.
Well, if this is it, old boy, I hope you don't mind if I go out speaking to kings.
I sound posh, but I'm not posh.
Are you taking the piss?
Do yourself a fucking favour, mate, because this is your last chance for a fucking peaceful night.
Recording live from London.
Yes, London. You know, fish, chips, cup of tea, bad food, worse weather, Mary fucking Poppins, London.
That's Ashley.
Fucking cunt.
And this is...
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Yeah, it's usually Destructoid with Jim Sterling. He's a cunt. So I'm getting fucking tongue-tied, mate. Throat's dry, sir. None's nasty. But today they publish an article saying they sold 24 million fucking units of useless piece of shit called the Kinect, and they're saying it's slow going. Fuck off. Basically, it's because these arseholes... are putting out shit, basically. About the Wii U, people talk about that being a next generation console, it is not. Wii U sales, not bad, says Nintendo president. It's also sold at a loss, with bollocks, for Nintendo, albeit a slight, relatively slight one. What a load of crap. I don't believe that for a fucking second, you lying bastards. You know what, it's so full of shit. It's unbelievable.
That guy is a loyal motherfucker. He really is.
I never leave you lot to lurch with anything.
All of a sudden I can't fucking have a... All of a sudden I can't once in a while just have a pleasant chat conversation with radio sensation Ashley Fuller. Can't even fucking get him to respond to you anymore. I love to talk, mate, but I'm just prepping for my show. How many times can you go to IGN in a day?
We had the VGAs the other day, which trust I couldn't give three fucks about, but I'll go into that in a second. Despite enough warning signs about server demand during the frenzy quite, Blizzard did not expect... Jesus Christ, I wish this fucking cunt would... actually proofread this shit. I mean, I'm the one who's got to read this fucking crap. I've killed a bunch of people in the game. I want to do it in real life. No one says that. No one thinks that at all. And I say people who do think that that is the least of violence are basically politicians who have no fucking clue anyway, who've never played a game and who probably think the latest game now is Pac-Man or something stupid like that. I mean, to be honest, if they stop making violent games, we might as well just play in fucking Barbie Horse Adventures.
Halo, well, does Halo have a story?
Hopefully the acquisition means only good things for IGN at staff as post-News Corp iteration. But I hope it means they all fucking die. Says THQ former CEO Brian Farrell. Has been my pleasure to work alongside this group of people. No, you haven't. You sat in an office and fuck all day, you lying bastard. Basically pulls the pants down of every fucking gamer. And literally they just sort of fisses up the arse. But yeah, so yeah. Welcome to the show.
And good evening, everyone. It's fucking cold outside. It's the end of October. Winter's definitely here, and I'm sitting here drinking... What am I drinking? I'm drinking whiskey with Pepsi and some ice. So I'm a bit buzzed, a little bit. My face is a bit warm because I'm a bit of a lightweight, but I'm having a good drink. Yeah, welcome to Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. Everyone's in the chat talking about wrestling. I'm going to tangent slightly. They're talking about wrestling. Talk about Hogan versus Austin. That would have been a great match. I mean, Austin would have beat the shit out of Hogan, but that would have been a great match. Just sort of, you know, old school wrestling review on before this one. Make sure you download it. Great show. Fuck off, Matt. Yes, I am drinking. Literally, I had a little bit of Pepsi left in the bottle. And I thought I bought the Pepsi to make whiskey and Pepsi, which is my favourite drink, because basically I just mix some shit together with some other shit and I got a drink. But yeah, I say welcome to the show, as usual. But yeah, I say been playing a bunch of stuff. Played some demos, played a couple of things, some broken stuff, some good stuff, and Assassin's Creed's out! Yay! Everyone cheer. Yes, I have it literally. Hopefully that can be picked up by the mic. I've got that right next to me. But yeah, so, you know, we'll get in touch with the show. I'll go for the usual pleasantries. Email us, antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. Join our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/MLRGamerLobby. Like our Facebook page, that always helps. I think we're up to 72 now, I think. Facebook.com/antisocialgameradio, and you can follow us on Twitter. It's @MLRGamerRadio. Yeah, so all for the UK listeners, a bit early this week because of the time change, but next week we'll be back to 8 o'clock. Which will be good for me, means I don't have to run home from work. But yeah, I'll say, you know, a bit earlier this week. But for the podcast listeners, you know, doesn't matter. You'll still listen to this when you listen to this with everything else that you're listening to. Don't forget, yeah, go on iTunes, leave us a review. MoreLikeRadio.org, download them there. Yeah, the usual stuff. You know the score. But yeah, I'll say I'll go into what I've been playing, a bunch of stuff this week. I'll go into the stuff that's not so much important as the stuff I have been playing. Alien Rage. We got this as the Xbox Live Arcade game last week. It's okay, right? I'm not going to buy it. I deleted it off me console. It's not. It feels like a Bulletstorm. It feels like a Bulletstorm clone, to be honest. The way I'm playing, you know, it's literally you get points for killing kills. You get like, I think was it 10,000 for a kill and 20,000 for a headshot, which is quite nice to watch. Is that you sort of shoot the alien and the head explodes and there's blood and guts and all sorts of shit. But yeah, that it's fun in that sense, but it's weird. It's getting good reviews on the Xbox Live. You know, I think it's like 4 stars or 3.5 stars, which you know is good. I guess. But I'll say on some of the websites I've had a look at, it's been a bit shitty, sort of dismal reviews. But yeah, I'll say the graphics are nice. It's very complex in the story. It's, you know, there's some sort of, it's sort of like Avatar, but with more shooting, to be honest. And, you know, actually, if anything could beat Avatar, that film was terrible. But yeah, I'd say it's basically what happened is, we found some sort of rock that had this mineral that we wanted. Then some other aliens, they came over and we both worked together to get this mineral, and then they started some shit and we started some shit, and then basically some big war. And then basically it's a first person shooter, it's basically you're just going around from one place to the other killing aliens and, you know, getting points for kills. And I mean it basically does rip off the whole kill with skill thing that Bulletstorm was trying to do. I mean, there's weapons have alternate fire, which I love alternate fire on weapons. Because during the basic tutorials, it says, well, press this to run, that to do that. And then when it said alternate fire, I pressed it, but I was right next to the wall. So basically, I sort of blew myself up a little bit, took a good chunk of health with me. It should probably sort of give you a tutorial as you're going through it, just to even up the pace. But yeah, it was quite funny. I sort of fired a grenade that blew up some explosives and killed some aliens, and you know, it's fun, you know, if you want it. But I mean, it's, if I was going to buy it, which I'm definitely not, even when it does go on sale, I'd wait till it goes on sale. Otherwise, it's not really worth it. But yeah, so Alien Rage, Get it if you want. Give the demo a go at least, like I did. I mean, I was expecting something really good from it, and you know, my expectations were crushed. We got the Payday 2 demo. Now, I recommend everyone gets this, downloads it. It's really fun. I mean, it's basically as fun as I thought it was going to be. It's the kind of fun that I've had with this game, that people are having with Left 4 Dead and Left 4 Dead 2. It's that kind of, it's, you basically, you have a job, you know, you bank robbery or whatever. It gives you a whole map of like banks and places where you can rob, and there's different styles with how, difficult it is and that sort of stuff. Even though, I did it and came away with a whole shit ton of money, I think we came up, that was me and three other people that, you know, just basically randoms that I was playing online with. And basically, was it, I think we did a freestyle bank robbery. And basically when I got into it, the alarms had already been triggered. So basically we were getting fucked over by the police straight away. And then, you know, what happened? Yeah, basically I sort of jumped into the map. The drill was already set up on the safe, so that was going. Because it's like a timer on it, and it had about 240 seconds. I'm like, shit, we're going to be here for, you know, about four or five minutes. So I was like, right, great. The police are swarming all over us. I basically just went to each window. I saw in the, when I was watching trailers and video footage, because I mean, I'm probably going to pick this up. I'll try and find somewhere cheap. You could put planks over the windows, but I'm not too sure how to do that. I mean, I'm guessing in the main tutorial it will teach you, but it is a great sort of, you know, a game to play with randoms. I mean, you know, you probably go on some of the message boards on Game Facts or something like that. Just find some serious players to earn some real money and, you know, that sort of stuff. Hang on, just move the microphone. I don't think I'm talking to it properly. Yeah, but it's quite fun. Say, once the police have stormed us, we broke into the bank. It takes ages. I mean, because even once we'd broke into the vault with this drill, we still had to get past the bars that were there. So basically, it was another drill that had to come out. And we had to keep sort of going up to the drill, pressing, I think it was the right shoulder button. And that would get the drills going again. And then when we got inside, it was actually, you know, you pick up the bags for the money and then you walk them to the cart. And basically when you know, it does actually, it does play to how it would happen in real life. I mean, you'd pick up a shit ton of money. You're picking up, you know, $250,000. You know, in a bag, and it literally weigh you down. So basically, your movement is sluggish when you're going towards a car, which is what it was. But it was a pain because there was three of us all in this car, ready to go, and there's one fucker sort of hanging around behind. You know, he's just sort of hanging around in the vault, getting shot, and was like, "Well, shit, we're ready to go. We're just waiting for you." But basically, a bunch of them went in. I mean, I ran out of ammo, and by this time, we had like the SWAT coming after us. So I'm a pretty good shot when it comes to this game. I was surprised how good I was, to be honest. But I was literally just headshot after headshot, which, you know, I was worked with the police, but with the SWAT because of the you know, the headgear and stuff, it took a few times. And there was some special guys in special costumes or something. That took a while. I mean, there's one guy just sort of like staring at me, and I was staring at him, and then it sort of reacted, and you know, both shot each other, but managed to kill him. But yeah, it's a fun game. I mean, I'm going to try and, you know, once I've done the show and stuff, I'll try and find out how much how much it costs on Amazon or something. I'll just buy it, whatever. But yeah, slight tangent, slightly. I might not be getting Call of Duty next week. I'm not really feeling it, to be honest. I mean, I've got. Something which I'll talk about in a second, and I've got Assassin's Creed, which literally I've literally just come through the front door. That is here and, you know, ready to be played, and that will take up a good couple of weeks. But yeah, I'll say I'll go into what I did pick up the other week, which came out, was it Friday? Yeah, Friday. Batman Arkham Origins. I had big expectations for this. Well, semi big expectations for this game, and it mostly paid off. The game is very buggy, so anyone who's listening to this who wants to buy it, hold off for now, because literally, I mean, it's buggy, it's freezing, you know, it's good, it's the story's really good, I do want to get into it more, but One time it did, it was saving and it froze and corrupted my save. I was only in like 5% in the way through the game, but I didn't really want to happen again. So I started again. I'm about 17% through the game. I literally one of the first plot twists that I've come to with Black Mask, who's the main villain, sort of, you know, no spoilers just yet. But yeah, he's one of my main villains. The basic story is that it's, you know, Batman's been Batman for about 2 years now, and people are just starting to find out about him because he's been, you know, ninjily working through the shadows. But the Batcave's there, which you can go into. Which, I mean, the game has one of the coolest intros I've ever seen. Because it's sort of like the intro we got from the Batman movies where he's putting on the suit. It's kind of like that. You sort of hear all the police going, sirens going off in the background and all this sort of stuff, and it's like Batman suiting up. And it's really cool. It's very, very cool as a, you know, comic fanboy, that sort of stuff. But yeah, there's tons of different villains. I mean, I thought the Mad Hatter, which was literally, it's only like one thing you have to sort of... If anyone remembers the Scarecrow levels from previous games where it was like you were in an alternate... You know, you were drugged by the Scarecrow. This sort of thing happens with the Mad Hatter. I fought Deathstroke, who is a tough-ass motherfucker. That's a really tough boss. Because basically, it's just counters. I had to watch a video on YouTube to work out what we're supposed to do. Because you can't button mash your way through the game. I mean, you know, there are certain people who are really good at the combat. I mean, I wouldn't mind if this was a sort of a semi-button bashing game. But because it's all that free-flow combat... It's literally, I press X to punch, and then I press X and move some other guys. So basically, like, you know, Batman sort of like jumping all over the screen, punching one guy, punching another, and then you press the Y button to counter. And, you know, I'm actually getting quite good at the combat. I do want to actually go through the previous game, previous games. Yeah, Matt, Deathstroke in it is tough ass. He's really, really hard. But yeah, I say it's, you know, I'm getting better at the combat now. I'm actually I think I actually pulled off like a 29 hit combo, which I'm not a big fan of the whole free flow stuff. I'd rather just, Keith, you might want to wait. I mean, the game is very buggy and it's freezing constantly. There's several times I've played it and it's frozen. You know, it's a good game. Don't get me wrong. I mean, the guy, Troy Baker, who was at London Comic Con this past weekend. I should have gone on Saturday, but I was too busy, you know, playing Batman. But yeah, it's good, but it just keeps freezing. I'd probably hold off for a bit because, I mean, you know, if you wait a couple of weeks, I mean, I'll, you know, as usual, I'll let you know when it's all fixed and stuff. But it still freezes and bugging, and literally, I mean, I don't want any more game corruptions on it. Otherwise, I'll just literally just take it back to the shop and say, fuck it, have it back. I don't want it. But yeah, I say Troy Baker. Really good, spot on, near enough spot on impression of Mark Hamill's Joker. I mean, I've got an ear for the for voices. I mean, I watch a lot of anime and cartoons and stuff like that. But yeah, he does have the enthusiasm and vocal tones that Mark Hamill did when he was portraying the Joker. But yeah, he's really, really good, and you can tell. I mean, because it is, you know, set, I'd say about 8 years before, Arkham Asylum, because in this you see, you know, James Gordon, he's not grey haired, he's got his, you know, sort of browny ginger hair, and Barbara Gordon, she's like a teenager. In the Facebook group, Kevin, from Alcohol by Volume, which, you know, I'm sort of having a drink with at the moment, he posted a review by, you know, everyone's favourite, Jim Sterling. From Destructoid, that sort of nothing radio station show, whatever the fuck that fucker he is, fellow countryman. Well, he's more of a cunt than I am. But yeah, I say, he's posted actually a semi decent review. I mean, he talked about, I mean, I only bothered to read about the main story, which just, I actually agree with him, which, shocker. He says about the game how it does feel like pretty much Arkham City. It is a sort of rehash on what we've already got, which, to be honest, I don't mind. Craig is in chat. Arkham Origins is okay, but lots of problems. Exactly, that's what I'm saying. I've got, you know, Assassin's Creed. I'm playing that now until they fix all the bugs, because I want to get through the story. I'm a big Batman fan. I've got posters and all sorts of stuff and statues and all sorts, you know, comics and shit all over the place. You know, Batman is my favourite superhero. But I will wait so I can get the full enjoyment of this. I don't really want to go through it and get... Because I've seen posts on GameFAQs and other people complaining. It's like, well, I've got so much through the game and the game froze and... keep saying. Yeah, the problems. It's basically just freezing. that people haven't corrupted game saves because it's freezing when it's saving, which corrupts the data. That's basically the main problems. I mean, we all want to play it and enjoy it, but it's bugging and freaking all over the place. But yeah, I say it's really good. The graphics are not they're. I mean, I've played all the games so much, I can see where the framework is from Arkham City, and it does feel like basically a reskin of basically Arkham City, which it is, to be honest. But it does come off quite nice. It's not as polished as it should be. I mean, Batman looks okay in the suit. The suit's kind of grey. It's not black like it's supposed to be. It's sort of grey-ish. I don't know if that's from the texturing they've used in when they've done the rendering, but it does look okay. I mean, the voice actor, I mean, I'll say it again. There is no reason that they should not have had Kevin Conroy voice Batman. I mean, he's been voicing Batman. I say this all the time. He's been voicing Batman for 20 years, and he sounds exactly the same now as he did, 20 years ago. And it still would have been okay. I mean, it does feel a bit off. Craigie's saying the same stuff. Frame rate, choppy controls. Yeah, choppy controls. Collision detection stuff. I mean, when I'm having a fight with someone, it's like I'm pressing the button, but nothing's happening. It's supposed to be the free flow combat, but it's like, well, I go from this guy to that guy, and I'm pressing X. Just waiting for stuff to happen. I mean, there's sort of intros to some characters. It was in like the bit when I was in the police station. Matt says shocking it would be that buggy. It surprisingly is. I mean, they should have held it back a bit because I mean, there's so many open world games coming out now. We've got Assassin's Creed and some bits of Call of Duty supposed to be open world and there's tons of stuff we've got at the moment that's been out or coming out. But yeah, it's a fun game and I'm having tons of fun playing it. I just wish they'd fucking fix it. This is the thing. I should probably get on Twitter later and just contact every developer and just say, take your time with games. We've got the PlayStation 4, and the Xbox One coming out in a few weeks. I mean, I'm not picking them up, obviously, because I've got no money. And, I want the PlayStation 4, but I want games that are, PlayStation 4 exclusive and not that come out on both systems, games that come out on both systems. Okay, just reading the chat. Craig's name. WB Montreal has basically told all Rockstar, took all Rockstar's toys and played with them, but not understood exactly how they work. Exactly. That's my feeling. Exactly. It's like I want to enjoy it for what it is. I'm getting a sort of semi feeling that it feels like a sort of Rocksteady, their Batman game, but it's not. It's kind of like my comparison I can make is the Fallout 3 to Fallout New Vegas. It's basically that. It should be the big dog, but it's the scrappy do, to be honest. Sorry, I'm just reading in the chat. Keith is saying not a big thing, but one of my favourite things about Arkham City was flying around and exploring and swooping down and saving people. It made me feel like Batman. So that's one of the things I'm looking forward to in Arkham. Yeah, it's, as I say, it's exactly the same as Arkham City. You can do the flying. I don't think there's any rescuing people because basically, I'm not exactly sure what's happened, to be honest. I think Black Gate was broken open and all the villains and gangs are there, so basically, and it's Christmas Eve, which gives them an excuse to not have so many people about, are inside. So basically, look, it's pretty much what we've played before. It's just, it's just all Craig and Matt saying, about why this happens, and Craig saying Matt is all the money, and but I'm interested, this game's going to sell shit tons. It's a really good game, there's tons of advertising for it. It's good. It is really good, but it's just, they should have taken their time, or I can't say work harder because these people work so many hours as it is. I don't know. What are we going to get with the next gen consoles? Are we going to get, I'm just trying to think now. Are we going to get still buggy games, even though it's going to cost us more to buy these games? Or is the money going to go to where it's supposed to? Or are we still going to have the same problems? So maybe they should have we should pay more for this current generation, not for the one that's going to start in a couple of weeks. I don't know. It's, you know, see what happens with all the, yeah, Keith, no scarecrow. Well, I don't know. I haven't got that far. I'm only 17% of the way through. But I mean, there was a scarecrow style mission, but it was with the Mad Hatter, which, you know, this is a waste of time. But it was quite good. I've actually sort of, looked through, I went on IMDb and looked for the voice. They've got, Peter McNichol, who, you know, everyone watches Ally McBeal, he was in that. Ghostbusters 2, you know. He voices the Mad Hatter, which is pretty good. There's tons of voice actors that I know of in this, and it's actually really, really good. My IGN and I think IGN and Games Radar have come up with a bunch of a can't even think now. A bunch of, like, you know, Easter eggs. Yes, Easter eggs that have popped up of different characters, and, you know, there's a post of the Flying Graysons. Even though, I mean, I haven't touched the multiplayer or the challenge rooms. I mean, I'm looking forward to doing that, because I do have actually quite fun with the challenge stuff, like the Predator stuff. I'm looking forward to sort of getting to it. It's just, I haven't. But I mean, yeah, so we'll say about Jim Sterling. I mean, his review pretty much for the main story is spot on. It's pretty much a rehash of what we already have. But I mean, he did go on to get a 3.5 out of 10, which, to be honest, I do think is a bit harsh. But saying that, though, I mean, he did give a 3.5 to review to Resident Evil. I mean, I don't know what's wrong with this idiot. I mean, I don't think he can count past 4. Because, I mean, Resident Evil, I mean, out of 10, I would have given it a 5 at least. But I mean, Batman, it's really good. It just needs the bugs fixed with it. It's one of those things. It's just, they should have taken their time and, you know, and done it properly, you know. I mean, that's the thing. We're in no hurry for games. There's tons of games out, and there's whole back catalogues of stuff that we've got, and we've got new consoles. It's like, there's plenty of time for everything. But I mean, I'm hoping that, you know, Rocksteady are working on the next Batman game, and it will have Kevin Conroy. I mean, I'm not too fussed about the joke. I mean, that's the thing. They seem to have done. I mean, I'd love to know how many Batman games that have come out, have been made, have had the Joker in. Because, I mean, they seem to think that you need, you know, for a Batman game, you have to have the Joker in it. But, I mean, we've had Bane in every single game we've got that's come out in the trilogy of, well, trilogy, you know, Origins, City, and Asylum. Has had Bane, Joker, Scarecrow in 2. Mr. Freeze, I think, was in two of them, I think. Was he just in the last one? But yeah, I mean, there's so much to do. I mean, there's supposed to be 8 assassins in this. I've beaten, Deathstroke. I've beaten him. Hopefully he doesn't come back, because I don't want to fucking fight him again. There's the Lady Shiva stuff, which is basically seems like a side mission. Anarchy's in this, which I thought was quite funny. He's left bombs across the city and something. I've got to find them. And then there's, the Penguin stuff I've got to do. I've got to find these cases. There's, you know, the whole bunch of stuff to do. Oh yeah, Bullock, he's in the game. And I actually got the voice actor from the TV show, from the 90s Batman show, which was amazing. I literally almost pissed myself in excitement. It was really, really funny. It was like, you know, it was sort of standing there talking to Commissioner Gordon. It's like, Captain Gordon at the moment. And it was like, wow, I know that voice, because he's in it. And there's a whole bunch. It's quite good that, you know, they get him in the game. But I mean, I want more from it, but, you know, fix it first. And, you know, I don't know. I said one of the ones that should be in this is KG Beast. Matt is just suggesting in the chat. I mean, I hope so, because I am so out, because I haven't read comics for about a couple of years now, so I'm so out of the loop with whatever's going on. I think they got fucking Superman dating Wonder Woman now. I was like, what the fuck's up with that? I'm so out of the loop when it comes to comics. I mean, I missed 10 years ago. I missed how the Batman stuff used to be back then, 10 years ago. You know, it was proper good stuff when Nightwing was wearing his proper black with the blue logo uniform, and, you know, now he's wearing black with a red, fucking, these people have no idea how to write, seriously. But yeah, so it's Batman, it's good, it can be better, but I'm just waiting for the bugs. But as, you know, as usual, you know, you're going to be hearing this for the next couple of months now. I've been playing Pokemon. I'll try and get through this quickly, because I've got a topic that I want to get to. On my friends list, I've got someone who's got, like, Dittos. I've been working on the Friend Safari stuff. I know more about it now. Basically, any Pokemon you come across in the Friend Safari, they will have 2 perfect IVs, so you can breed them for competitive uses, which I'm trying to do. I was standing on a platform playing, you know, just trying to breed some Pokemon. And I got some sort of a battle crest from someone. I was like, okay, who the fuck is this? I didn't realize what it was until I actually clicked off, because I was too busy trying to breed these eggs and stuff. Because, you know, there's IVs now that you can say said you can have six. Each Pokemon can have six perfect IVs, which is what I'm aiming for. But I mean, I've got one Pokemon that's got four perfect ones. But I'm sort of, you know, I want to build the ultimate team that the, you know, best that can ever be. But yeah, I say I'm having tons of fun with it. I mean, you know, the story's done. I'm just sort of buying more clothing, doing more stuff. I'm just basically getting into the breeding now. I mean, we've got two months now until the Poke Transfer app comes along, and then I can get on with that and, you know, whatever that's done. But yeah, so just pretty much breeding. That's all I'm doing, really. Just, you know, getting items. I mean, I've still got my X version to finish off. I need to finish off that so I can send over my Xerneas. But yeah, so I need to get myself another DS as well, so I can do the trading and, you know, just work on basically all my bits and pieces. Yeah, I say the main topic this week, it's sort of the mortality, or I don't know, it's one of those ology, tality words. I think about the characters that we play as. That's my main thinking. You know, I've done stuff on endings. I mean, I'm not too sure what I'm doing next week. I found a couple of articles. I might talk about them. I don't know yet. But yeah, I think about the characters that we get in the games. You know, how do we go about, understanding them as, you know, as their character? How do we play as them? Because, I mean, I've got two different, you know, examples. I mean, we've got the basic characters. It's, you know, I'm sort of thinking about the good and evil mentality. That's basically my sort of, I don't know, rhetoric. Is that the word? I don't know. I've got a bunch of big words floating around my head. I have no idea what any of them mean. I'm just shooting them out. But yeah, I think about the sort of the good and evil battles that we get in gaming with the characters. I'm like, I've got a bunch of examples here. I mean, we've got Mario and Bowser, we've got Cloud and Sephiroth, we've got Link and Ganon, and we've got Solid Snake and Liquid Snake. You know, I mean, I think about, you know, do we still have that battle between games these days? I mean, I think about how gaming has changed with the characters. I mean, we talked about this before. We've said about, every franchise has their mascots. It's like Gears of War. It's like, well, yeah, you've got Marcus Fenix, but there's no evil. I mean, you know, General Ram in the first one, possibly, but I mean, you kill him. I mean, that's the thing. Every big character that's been over the past 20, 30 years has basically had an alternate. It's, you know, the opposite. It's the bad guy, you know, Cloud is Sephiroth. You know, we're always going to have Mario versus Bowser. It's going to be Sonic versus Dr. Robotnik. Matt is in chat. He says to me, like, modern Hulk Hogan versus postmodern Hollywood Hogan. Yeah, pretty much. Except they're both sellouts. But yeah, I think it's like, I just think, do we still have that in games these days? That's what makes me wonder. I mean, I'm going deeper into this topic anyway in a second. But I think, you know, I mean, the games that we're getting, I mean, we're getting a lot of shooters. I mean, I watched a review for Battlefield 4. I'm not going to get it. I was thinking about it. I mean, it comes out Friday. I'm not that interested in it. I've read a review. As you all know, I mean, you've been listening to me for a year now. I'm a big story. Joseph Campbell will tell you yes. Is that the guy who invented the soup? Kinez in the chat says, consoles just don't get it done for me anymore. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like even PC gamers, news article I'll probably talk about next week about the Command & Conquer game being cancelled. That literally just came out right before the show started, so I'll get some information on that for next week. But yeah, I say there is no... I mean, I was thinking about, because Matt's in the chat, because he likes the Dark Souls games. I mean, that is probably my... I mean, that is probably my thinking of... what do you call it? you know, the good versus evil. It's like your main character versus all these enemies. But I just wonder about the whole, you know, because we're getting so many shooters at the moment. And I mean, they can go several ways. I mean, it's like you can have your clear sighted bad guy. Well, you know, this is the bad guy right from the get go, like with Mario and Bowser. You know, Bowser's the bad guy. But then you could, you know, sort of Cloud to be separate off, as I said, you know, Solid Snake, because, like, you know, that sort of stuff. But then you got your hidden bad guys who you don't find out. I mean, are we coming? Is the gaming characters of good and evil, or, you know, bad versus, you know, good or whatever, you know, is it becoming blurred, or we just, is it just sort of, I think, like a development happening with, I mean, I think about, so we'll take Modern Warfare 2. It's like you thought they got there's several what do you call it in Modern Warfare 2. I mean, you've got your basic characters that you play as, and it turns out I'm not spoiling anything, you haven't played this, everyone's played fucking Modern Warfare 2. It's basically I can't remember what the fucking guy's name is now, but basically you get stabbed in the back pretty much by one of the guys who's on your own team because he wants to start sort of World War III. And it's like, well, a plot twist, you didn't see it coming. Is that sort of what we're happening now? I mean, because I'm having a weird feeling when it comes to this sort of, we're getting tons of plot twists in amongst the stories between the characters. It's like, well, this was the good guy, that's the bad guy, but then this guy who we thought was a good guy is also a bad guy. I mean, it's development. I'll give you it's developing the characters. I mean, Matt, you said about the escapism of GTA is what sells it. I mean, because I talk about the sort of create your own characters, but I think about how we play them as well. I mean, from the story that we're given, when it comes to stuff, you know, because we can take open world gaming and we can put that to one side, we can say, well, you know, we've Grand Theft Auto stuff, you know, hang on, what have I got on my list? Grand Theft Auto, Mass Effect, Elder Scrolls. Well, no, I'll put Mass Effect to one side for a second. But Grand Theft Auto, Elder Scrolls, possibly Watch Dogs, I don't know. None of us will until next year when it does come out. But, I mean, how does that affect how we play? I mean, that's what sort of trying to tie in. It's like, we have the good versus evil characters. We have Mario. It's like, you know, we become Mario. We do all the good stuff. We fight the bad guys. We rescue the princess. That sort of stuff. But when it comes to things like Grand Theft Auto, Elder Scrolls, probably not Elder Scrolls as much as what I'm thinking of at the moment, but Grand Theft Auto, so we play, Kinez in the chat is saying, Watch Dogs is coming out, I think it's February, sometime in the spring, before April, hopefully. Yeah, it got delayed, they're not finished with it yet. I want it. I really want Watch Dogs. Everyone wants Watch Dogs, but it's been delayed, so we have to wait. But I mean, I think about that sort of stuff. It's like, you know, Grand Theft Auto. We are, Grand Theft Auto. As you know, from every single one we've played, it doesn't. I think about, you know, we can be our own character. We don't have to be. I mean, yes, in the recent one, Grand Theft Auto 5, we are Michael, Trevor, Franklin. You know, each one has their own personality, but at the end of the day, we're still us being all three characters. It's like, you know, I mean, because that's what I wonder. I mean, do we have a sense of morality when it comes to being good or evil? I mean, I'll go into what I was thinking about with, because, you know, create your own characters is what I'm, you know, also thinking. I mean, I've got so much thoughts, I need to stop drinking. I think, you know, how we are when it comes to choosing what we choose to do. Whereas, you know, I said about Mario, he's the good guy. He's always been the good guy, Bowser's the bad guy. But then games are shifting as, you know, consoles are coming, are getting better. Developers are having more ideas of games. We have, I mean, you know, 30 years ago, we didn't have open world gaming, an in-depth create your own character system like we do now, like with Elder Scrolls and Mass Effect, that sort of stuff. It's like, you know, things like Mass Effect, it's like, yes, you can make your good choices, you can make your bad choices. I mean, is that impressed on by ourselves? I mean, I think, I mean, you know, you can choose to do good stuff or the bad stuff depending on how you want to play the character. But I mean, do we put the goodness that's in ourselves into the character, or Matty says, no, keep drinking. Hang on one sec. That's a nice swig. But yeah, I think, if I run out of this drink, I'm going to get the bottle of the whiskey. But no, I think about, what it does for us, how we choose how we want to play. I mean, because as I say, we are losing the iconic good versus evil characters, and we're moving over to the more, as I said, create your own characters. Like, we choose how we want to play this character. We choose how we... I mean, say with Mass Effect, with the Shepard, with Shepard, it's like, female, male Shepard. We choose how we want to play the character. We, we could do good stuff or we can do the bad stuff. It's all based on our own, Matt says that Fallout, trying to balance, choose your own morality, is one of the only withdrawals to the game. It says the karma system seems fairly random. Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I mean, in Fallout, I love Fallout. I mean, Fallout's an amazing game. And if you haven't played it, go and pick it up. Don't buy New Vegas. It's okay, but get yourself Fallout 3. It's a great game. And Liam Neeson's in it. But yeah, I say, I think, as I say, we're losing that whole good versus evil character, and it's sort of being put on us to choose how we want to be in the game. Do we want to be the good guy, or do we want to be the bad guy? I mean, that's good. I mean, my main thing is like, well, what does that reflect on ourselves? Does that mean we, Grand Theft Auto, I can tie in as well. I can go and buy a shit ton of rocket launcher and buy a bunch of rockets and start blowing shit up. I mean, that affects... I mean, because one of the guys I was listening to, I think it was on one of the Pokemon shows I listened to, and he was saying about, I wrote his quote down here. Yeah, you pick the game to be something special. You pick your game to be something that you're not. I mean, you buy a golf game because you're not good at golf or something like that. I'm trying to pick a decent can't even think. Trying to pick a decent way to describe it. But yeah, I say, I just try to think, it's like, when it comes to the create your own character stuff, we make ourselves the character, or do we choose? I mean, I was just sort of wondering about how it affects us as people. I mean, we seem to be getting more and more violent as a society, as a people. I'm not talking about gaming, games players and stuff. I mean, I'm a very violent and angry person, but that's basically due to my upbringing. And I hate people, which is why the show's called Antisocial Game Radio. But yeah, I mean, it's like, well, we can choose who we want to be in a character. I mean, we have, like, I mean, I've got, I think, several, I had, set back when I did play Mass Effect, I had, a couple of characters. I had my good character and my bad character. But I mean, it's being the good person lets us exercise that part of ourselves, which, that we're not usually bad, or we are good, or we're bad and we try to be good sometimes, or I just sort of wonder about stuff like that, really. I mean, it's kind of a sort of a strange topic for this week, but I wonder about stuff. I mean, I think about, was it Call of Duty, I think it was Modern Warfare 2, the airport level, where you basically get out of the lift and you basically just kill everyone in the airport. I mean, you can play through that level without killing everyone, and can play through that level, you can skip that level as well. But I mean, I think there's other games like World of Warcraft, you create your own character. I mean, World of Warcraft's a bit of a shitty idea to use, because I've never played it and I'm no interest in playing it, but, that go how you want to be. But I think about The Walking Dead as well, when it comes to the choices that we make. I mean, at the end of each chapter, I mean, The Walking Dead's supposed to be out today. I haven't seen it yet, to be honest. I don't think we'll get it till tomorrow in the UK. But I do want to get season 2, but I might just hold off, to be honest, until Christmas. I don't know. Depends how long it's going to take to get the game to come out. I'll probably wait till it comes on sale anyway. But yeah, I mean, at the end of each chapter of The Walking Dead, you get, you know, the choices you make. It's like, well, you chose this answer, but, you know, there's a split point where it gets, you can choose this or you can choose that. And it's like, well, so many percentages of people chose this and so many percentages chose that. I mean, did we choose it because we want to be good, or we chose it because, you know, what makes up our mentality for being good or bad when it comes to a character? That's what I'm saying. It's like, we have our characters, like Mario, you know, basically all the ones I suggest, they're the good characters, and we've got your bad characters. Like, what, what's this, Matt's in chat. Like, Mersch philosophized, you're not, what you show, you're what you hide about yourself. How you exercise your escapism with gaming choices probably tells more about you than anything. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I want to know. It's like, what do we do with, you know, what do we do with ourselves when it comes to this sort of stuff? Do we choose to play the character when we get a choice? Do we choose to play a character good because, you know, it's the goodness inside of us, or we play it bad because it's something we don't do? I mean, that defines on what games we buy as well. Considering, you know, Grand Theft Auto, I'm going to buy a bunch of guns. I'm going to buy a bunch of rockets and rocket launcher, and I'm going to blow shit up with sticky bombs and all sorts of crazy shit, because in real life, we'd never do it. I want something now to drink because my mouth is getting dry. Probably the whiskey. Oh, it smells nice. But yeah, I'd say that's what I may wonder. It's like, choose your own mentality or morality or, you know, whatever. But yeah, I wonder about this sort of stuff. I mean, I do, you know, I think it's one of these topics, is sort of sitting in the dark thinking about stuff for too long. But no, I sort of wonder about things. I mean, because some of the games that we're getting, you know, I do see, I mean, because we're getting a bunch of this, I mean, I'm just trying to think of the words to describe it now. We're getting games made for us that basically, I mean, most of the games that we do play are violent games. You know, Assassin's Creed, Call of Duty. I mean, this time of the year, I say Assassin's Creed sitting right next to me. Battlefield comes out, I think is it out in the States at the moment? I don't know, but it's out Friday anyway. And we've got other stuff as well. You know, Call of Duty's next week. You know, we're drenched in violent games, and, you know, because, to be honest, I mean, I look at the stack of games I've got. I mean, you know, Hitman, you know, Grand Theft Auto, Batman. You know, it's mostly violent stuff. But are we drifting away from the sense of games that we used to have, where it wasn't so? I mean, maybe it's the graphics that are getting better, the processors and all the hardware and software and all sort of stuff is getting better. So we are becoming more and more aware of what we're doing, and, you know, it's becoming more fleshed out and, you know, made to look more. I mean, I've sort of compared it slightly. I mean, I saw, because supposedly Tiger Woods is losing his sponsorship with the Tiger Woods golf games, and, you know, they showed about the next gen version and it looks much better. I was like, well, shit, we're at the top. We're basically, with games like Grand Theft Auto and, you know, Assassin's Creed, we're at they pushed the console as far as they can go when it comes to graphics and all that sort of stuff. Sorry, just fix the microphone. But yeah, it just sort of makes me wonder. It's like, for the next, coming down the road for the next generation, I mean, are we going to get more of what we've got now? Are the graphics are going to be better when it comes to gory stuff? I mean, I'm just wondering, how will it affect us? I mean, we're getting, you know, I mean, we don't really have we don't have any, you know, games made me do this. We're getting a bunch of shit like that from the media, because the media is, well, stupid and, you know, have no clue when it comes to about gaming. I'm sort of wondering how this will start to affect us when it does become more real, and, you know, certain people who are slightly unhinged won't be able to tell, you know, what's real from a game. And, you know, that sort of makes me wonder. It's like, should we be getting, maybe we should be getting more good versus evil games to help compensate the people with the fractured mind? I mean, it's kind of stupid me saying this sort of shit, because it's not really what I'm agreeing, you know, what I'm about. But it does make me wonder about certain things, because, you know, the way it's going with all these, I mean, out in the States, you've got all these fucking shootings and all this sort of shit going on all over the place. But, you know, basically it's because it's all happening because, you know, whatever, don't care. It's their own shit because they can't do stupid whatever. All legal bullshit and rules and we need guns, that sort of crap. But yeah, I sort of wonder, it's like, you know, will the tweaked and unhinged people become even more tweaked and unhinged? Is this actually going to become something that's, you know, is it going to be... Is it going to be something that's going to be more in-depth? And, I mean, most of the stuff that happens with consoles is public knowledge. And, I mean, you know, you can't go anywhere these days without seeing posters. I mean, I've seen posters for Arkham Origins for the past couple of months. There's, you know, when Halo, that comes out, there's tons of posters for that. And, you know, it's all over the buses and bus stops. You know, that sort of thing. But, I don't know. Maybe we're losing that good versus evil mentality. But I mean, if we are, it's basically we've been given a choice. It's like, you can choose to do this or you can choose that. I mean, we're given the freedom of choice, which is great. It's a great thing. You know, being offered to do this or to do that, you know, whatever it is that, you know, we're being offered in a game. But I just sort of wonder about, you know, the sort of problems we'll have that might pop up with the next generation when it, the graphics spec. I mean, just, I can't wait to see the games that we're getting at the end of the next generation. I mean, no, it's like 10 plus years away from now, but I am interested in seeing what we are seeing. I mean, you know, fuck knows how long I'm going to be doing this show for. But yeah, I say, you know, it's something to think about and to look forward to, you know, and what it does to the psyche of the gamers. But I mean, you know, if Nintendo are still around as they are now in 10 years, you're still going to get your Marios, your Legends of Zelda. You know, we're still going to get those games that have to do feature the good and evil. I mean, we've got, you know, Final Fantasy, that's a good sort of good and evil game. I mean, it's sort of made apparent who the bad guy is, you know, right from the get-go when it comes to these sort of stuff. But, you know, I just sort of wonder about these sort of things, to be honest. We'll probably go for a quick break at the moment because I've got a ton of new stuff to get through. But yeah, I say I've got a whole bunch of new stuff and some articles, and I'm not too sure what next week's topic is. I haven't really thought about it. I do want to do one on DLC, but I'm not too fussed about that at the moment. I probably sort of look up some stuff, but as soon as I do know, I will let you know. So basically, you know, to find out, go on Twitter, MLR Gamer Radio, and also facebook.com/antisocialgamerradio. Like the Facebook page. And as soon as, you know, I know, you'll see it through then. But until then, I'm going to go for a quick break, and I'll see you lot in about 10 minutes or so.
That combination of
and Ashley, you're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it would be at least two extra numbers and one extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we know
sign.
For sure. Yeah. It's some sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio, all one word.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to AdamandEve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift so sensual, we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So check out AdamandEve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type DEAL48 for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code DEAL48. At AdamandEve.com.
The Cousin Joe Show.
And I'm sitting in the chair. He did the barber cock touch.
What the fuck?
This is what it is.
Dude, where are you going to get your hair cut?
Listen to me.
Where are you going?
See how I'm sitting right now?
Yeah, I do.
Where are my elbows?
Outside the...
They always go around the side. And where the fucking... The height of my elbow... Is always their dick. He's reaches in and his cock touches my elbow. And the thing is, like, I can't immediately jerk away because that looks like...
You know you touched it.
Right, I'm acknowledging a cock touch. So instead, I just leave it there and let him rub his dick on my elbow.
Dude! Did he go back and forth?
That's when you could tell.
Did he go back and forth ever, like, fast?
Not fast. I wonder if guys do play games or get the barber hard, kind of wiggle their elbow.
Nobody does that, Joe. Nobody does that.
Well, weird faggots. Who knows?
You're fucking weird.
Insane.
Tune in to the Cousin Joe Show live Thursday night, 7 to 10 on More Like Radio.
High Society Radio is now part of morelikeradio.com.
Who's all part of the More Like Radio cavalcade of stars? Who are you joining next?
Oh, well, Hippo Juice, they're the soul behind More Like Radio. And we're jumping on there. High Society Radio, that is.
What other kind of shows are over there, though?
Oh, there's plenty. There's just a roster that's ridiculous. There's 360 on 420. Mm-hmm. There's a gentleman show. There's Ain't Social Gamer Radio. There's the Red Show. There's Daytime Divas.
Okay, so you're not out there by yourself in the cold anymore.
No.
You're fucking with...
A family.
Yeah, a real family. A family of gangsters.
Take the edge off. MoreLikeRadio.com. It's like rap music you can understand.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
Now I'm realizing that this is all going to be on fucking podcast. Oh boy!
I told you.
Yeah, I was trying to warn you the whole time,
dude. I don't care. I'm voluntarily Skyping into you. Use us to make a promo. I don't care. No, dude. Like I said, my fiance doesn't listen. Dutch got drunk one night. Well, he gets drunk every night, but he got drunk one night, and I used it as a promo. Why not use this into a promo? I give everyone permission to turn this audio into a promo. I don't care.
He also used Drunk Me for a promo too. If you remember?
Punch it. You play it every week.
I do. Folks at home, Radio Gold like this happens every Sunday and Thursday at midnight on 360 on 420, only on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Wrestling's fake.
Oh, yeah?
Jesus!
The organization that brought you Tangled Web, Tournament of Death, and Prelude Defiance. 15 years of hardcore tradition. The Combat Zone is professional wrestling's proving grounds. Combat Zone doesn't do PG. No ballroom dancers or pimps shucking and jiving in our ring. Just the biggest names in independent professional wrestling. Masada.
Oh my God! What? Oh, yes. What the hell?
Adam Cole.
Only in pro wrestling can two men kill each other and then follow it up with a hug covered in blood.
Danny Havoc.
Oh no! 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 No!
Drake Younger.
Just moving your body on the canvas. Painful? Not painful.
ECW features the ultimate hybrid style of high-flying mat wrestling combined with hardcore death-defying action the other promotions wish they were allowed to show you. Get the latest news on live events, internet pay-per-views, and more. Or score yourself a classic CZW t-shirt from their online store. Support the ultra-violent underground. Go to czwrestling.com or follow Combat Zone on Twitter.
Hey man, when you need to look your finest, what do you do?
Well, I grab my favorite t-shirt, of course.
You know, I just knew you were gonna say that, and I was gonna ask, have you ever checked out T-Fury?
I think so. That's the website with the new t-shirt every day, right?
That's the one. At T-Fury.com, there's a brand new t-shirt design every day, and each one lasts for only 24 hours, then it's gone forever.
So it's tea today, gone tomorrow?
Exactly.
That's a lot of t-shirts. Where do they all come from?
Well, each design is submitted by a freelance artist, so no two are exactly alike. And the best part? All these tees feature nothing but nerd references. Whether it's movies, TV shows, video games, cartoons, comics, or culture, they're all awesome. And get this, each tee is just 11 bucks.
Dude, it looks like I need to update my wardrobe. What's that website again?
Just use tinyurl.com/MLRTs. That's tinyurl.com/MLRTEES. Each limited edition tee lasts for only 24 hours, so get over there before time runs out.
Check out today's Tee Fury design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs.
If you weren't able to catch the last Hippo Juice show, here's what you probably missed.
The credibility that they are using as a bouncer at a Colombian strip club. Credibility.
Oh my god, that's hilarious! Let's say it three more times.
Oh God, to save you, gotta save my soul. Wow, but down, bow down, wow, diddy, wow, down, wow.
Listen to the Hippo Juice Show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on morelikeradio.com.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I haven't been to bed. Me and Mike met up with these two Scottish guys in the pub and they gave us all this cheap speed.
Tim, that's so tacky.
Yeah, I know. You know, they were so nice. I think if we'd have said no, they'd have got offended and beaten us to death with a pool cue.
Where's Mike now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hi, Brian.
Bring him up back.
What are you playing?
It's a subtle blend of lateral thinking and extreme violence.
What? Like it's a knockout.
Did you want something?
No, not really.
Oh, there's a letter here for you. It came yesterday.
It's open.
Yeah, I opened it by accident because we've both got eyes in our names.
It's from Vulva.
Oh, yeah, it's another woman's magazine.
Vulva, it's an old friend. She's having a show tonight.
You've got a friend called Vulva? Who's called Vulva?
Real name's Ian.
Do you mean her real name's Ian?
She's non-gender specific.
Oh, what, you mean he's a tranny?
More than that.
What, big fat tranny?
Vulva. Had a multimedia performance art partnership before she moved on. Such aesthetic wonders. Such vibrant times.
Yeah, I can imagine.
No, we did valuable work. She was the beautiful one, really. I just danced to her tune. It was purity. It was physical. I mean, not in a sexual sense. No, we were collaborative. I don't expect you to understand. Most people don't want to hear, they just switch off. It's hard to hear the story of a love affair between two straight men, one of whom is the most divine woman alive.
So you're gonna go?
I don't know, I haven't seen her for ages.
No, I mean, are you gonna go now?
Oh, yeah.
And welcome back to the second hour of Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. As I said before, you know, this week it'll be an early show, early start show, just because of the time change. But next week, back to normal, 8 p.m. UK time, as usual, 3 p.m. Eastern. Yeah, a bunch of new stuff this week that I've seen, so I'll get through that straight away. Yeah, Matty brings up, just for the break, he brought up about the International Red Cross want to... to have Call of Duty to have war crime trials. It's like, you know, that's just fucking stupid. But yeah, I'll go into the news. Some Pokemon stuff. I've got some stuff on Nintendo. I'll get that out of the way, as usual, because nothing ever interesting comes from Nintendo. The Lumio City bug has been fixed, has been released. I mean, I've downloaded it for my Y version. I haven't downloaded it for the X version. Got this off IGN. Nintendo has released a new patch for Pokemon X and Y designed to remove a game-breaking bug. Last week reports started surfacing that some individuals who saved in the game's Lumio City found their 3DS consoles unresponsive when trying to load the file, and were ultimately left with no choice but to delete their game and start again. Thankfully, Nintendo has released a patch 1.1. It does actually show up in the main menu. I checked this morning when I was playing. You should be prompted to download it when you boot up the game, regardless of whether you're playing the digital or physical version. It takes up to 227 blocks and can be downloaded manually from the eShop. That's basically where I downloaded it. So it does work, and it does I mean, I suppose I still wouldn't risk saving the city just to be on the safe side, because especially my Y version, which is my main version. Okay, let's try some more Nintendo stuff to get it all out. Oh, wrong one. Get out of the way. Just so you do know, when I was on the break, I did go and grab the bottle of whiskey, and it's right next to me, so once I finish my drink, I'll be straight on the whiskey. Yeah, here we go. Something from last week that I should have brought up. Nintendo has ended Wii production in Japan. This basically came out, this is from IGN as well. This came out about a week or so ago. Nintendo has discontinued production of the Wii hardware. The news was spotted by CheeseMeister3K last night on the company's Japanese website. Basically, the Wii home console was released on November 19th, 2006. And introduced motion control as a prime method of control. The console featured full backwards compatibility with the GameCube software library until the feature was removed in a product refresh called Wii Family Edition in late... How does that... Product refresh? I'm literally just, looking at IGN. They've got trending comment stuff. Looks like there was a new trailer for the X-Men movie. I'll have to watch that when I get a chance. They stopped making the Wiis. Just, I actually should buy one. I don't mind the Wii. We got my dad a Wii for Christmas many years ago. It's not a bad console, to be honest. There's some decent stuff on it. The Wii U that's, well, sucking. Here we go, yeah. PlayStation bonuses for Assassin's Creed 4 and Watch Dogs DLC, timed exclusive. This is from Games Radar. Previously announced bonus content for the PlayStation versions of Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag. It's weird how I am easier to talking and reading stuff when I've been drinking. I have to do that more often. Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag, and Watch Dogs will be exclusive to Sony consoles for 6 months. Then exclusivity period was released in a new Sony video, which declares PlayStation 4 the most powerful next-gen console. It also says that over 180 games are in development for the system, which Sony claims is more than... more than for any other... Oh, why would you bracket that? Jesus Christ, what is it with these people? As usual, editing shit with Games Radar. More than for any other next-gen console. Saying that you've got 180 games isn't much, considering that most of them, say about 30 or 40, 50, well, say 50, are probably disc-based games, while the rest are downloadable arcade stuff that could probably go out on the PlayStation 3. The PlayStation version of Ubisoft's games both promise to offer 60 minutes of exclusive gameplay, while Watch Dogs content has been specified. The Assassin's Creed 4 content will consist of 3 missions starring Evelyn de Grandpré, the female protagonist of the Vita game, which no one gives a shit about, Assassin's Creed 3 Liberation. It's a way forward to... So Evelyn is a bit older, Assassin's Creed 4 lead writer... Darby McDevitt said in July, it's not directly related to the end of her story. If Assassin's Creed 4 is like a novel, Evelyn's missions are like a short story. Me saying this now means nothing, considering that basically I've said several times during the show, I have Assassin's Creed right here. I'm holding it in my hand, and I'll be playing it straight after the show once I've had my usual curry. But yeah, I say I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to playing Assassin's Creed. It's going to be really good. What is Matt doing in the chat now? I don't know. I'll try and find some more stuff on set. Sorry. So, I've gone through all the Nintendo stuff and looking for the PlayStation stuff. Okay, one sec. Here we go. Yes, this is educational stuff. About the new PlayStation 4. I've got it from IGN. PlayStation 4, how digital sharing works. So basically, all you need to know this for your PlayStation 4, I'll read it, so I'll learn it as I read. Sony has revealed a new FAQ detailing how digital game sharing will work on the PlayStation 4. The FAQ explains that you'll be asked to register one PlayStation 4 as your primary console. Doing so will mean anyone playing on that console on different accounts can play games and apps you've gotten from the PlayStation Store, and make sure and make use of the PlayStation Plus benefits. Or you can connect it over the internet with your Vita, which no one owns, to make use of the Remote Play. Registering your PlayStation 4 as your primary system will allow other users who play on the same console with different accounts access to any games you've downloaded without you having to log in. Additionally, if you have a PlayStation Plus and register a PlayStation 4 as your primary console, then every account that plays on the system will be able to make use of certain benefits like online multiplayer, even without their own PlayStation Plus subscription. If you want to play on any other PlayStation 4 that isn't your primary console, you can download any game you've bought on the PlayStation Store as long as you sign into the PlayStation Network. You'll only be able to start the games you've downloaded, and you can only be logged into two consoles at any one time, primary PlayStation 4 and one secondary, one that's like friends. The good news is that there's no limits on the number of systems you can download games to. You have to be logged in order to play, but from the sounds of things, this means you can share digital games with any, but as many mains as you like. Though only one of the legend, only one of these secondary consoles will be able to play a title at any given time. You'll have to tell them your password so they can log in. Which, considering I had a chat with some guy once, he was giving me a lift home, and it was saying about how he shares like his games with all of his friends. It's like you can download it, download a game like several different times, there's different consoles with the PlayStation 3. This was years ago, I'm going back. And it's like, it seems like they've sort of gone, taken that a step back on, you know, what's, they've taken it a step back on what they had originally, you know, stuff they let you do. But, yeah, I don't know. It seems interesting. Hang on, I can't remember. I'll finish off the article. As has been mentioned before, the situation with the disc remains the same as ever. Sony has reiterated that you can share disc games with your friends and play used disc games on your PlayStation 4 just like you can on the PlayStation 3 system. You do not have to connect to the internet to play. It's basically the whole fuck you to Microsoft they did back in July with E3. But yeah, I say it seems like... But I mean, just... I mean, so you can share your games with your friends, but only... one of them can play it, so I don't know. There's probably going to have to be some sort of, you know, ringing around and saying, well, yeah, you take it off your system as a primary one, and then we'll switch it to that one as a primary one, and we'll just keep doing basically a round robin with it and sharing it. You know, that sounds good, but I mean, just I don't know. I mean, I'm a bit wondering, because I mean, I know I'm going to buy both consoles eventually, because I have both consoles now. But I don't know what I'm going to be. What will be my main place, my main console? Because I mean, the PlayStation 4. You know, when I do eventually buy it, there will be some proper PlayStation 4 games for it. Not that, you know, not the sort of stuff we have now, where we have, you know, Watch Dogs is coming out on the PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4. It's like, yeah, I'd want like a game that's coming out just on the new next gen consoles, not something that's come out on both systems, like, you know, Twilight Princess is just, you know, a great example. It came out on the GameCube, and then it came out on the Wii. It's like, oh, what a game that I can play on the main system. Yes, some of the stuff will be better on the newer consoles, but I want something that's designed exclusively for the next-gen consoles. It doesn't matter if it comes out on both PlayStation 4 or Xbox One, just as long as it comes out on either of those two consoles and not on the previous gen's models, which... it's basically what I'm trying to get out. I mean, I'm looking forward to getting Destiny, but I don't know what I'm getting it on yet, because I want to know what everyone else is getting it on for, so we can all play together. I mean, I sort of missed out on that with Grand Theft, because, you know, just, I mean, even though we started a crew for the show, I haven't done any stuff online, really, with anyone, to be honest, because it's a bit buggy, and I'm still waiting on stuff. But I say, as I've talked about that, I will get into one of the topics I found. One sec, I'm just trying to... Okay, one second. Yeah, here we go. I've got some Grand Theft Auto stuff, so I'll get into that, because stuff I missed out on last week. GTA Online, Beach Bum Pack coming in November, cash payments further delayed. This is from Games Radar. It's good news and bad news for Grand Theft Auto Online players in Rockstar's latest Newswire update. First, the bad news. The stimulus package meant to make good on the weeks of glitches and lost progress with two payments of in-game $250,000 has been further delayed. Rockstar said the first disbursements intended to arrive early this week will now be held until another stability enhancing title update goes live next week. And this was 25th, which basically means so basically we should be getting an update this week, and we might get the money next week, maybe. Now the good news. GTA 5's first major content update, the Beach Bum Pack, will arrive for free in early November. New beach-themed vehicles and weaponry will be added to both the single-player and multiplayer game. And GTA Online characters can spend their illicitly earned cash. There's no money in the fucking main game to spend to use on new hairstyles, tattoos, and other customization options. So we're going to get what? Bermuda shorts and Hawaiian t-shirts. I don't know. I mean, I don't really use the tattoos. The hairstyles, yes, I do occasionally. Like, you know, for my first playthrough, I changed the hairs and that sort of stuff. But, you know, not that other stuff, I'm not that fussed. New jobs include gang attacks, survival, parachutes, even more added across the coastlines of Los Santos and Bland County as part of the pack. The content creator, which will allow players to custom build jobs themselves, is set to open later this fall. I'm hoping that's... I see this is all for GTA Online. Yeah, I'm hoping that comes out soon, because I have no real Matt's asking in the chat, have we had any gameplay footage for a next gen console yet? I watched a review earlier of the Battlefield 4, and it was PlayStation 4 and PC footage. It looks good. I mean, I'll show you later, Matt. There was an article on the True Achievements about the Tiger Woods stuff, and they were showing that. I mean, I think I might have the article here. Hang on 1 second, let me check. But yeah, I'm looking forward to stuff like actually with Grand Theft having the stuff that they promised us. 1 second, just trying to find. No, it doesn't seem like I had the article. I'll look for you later. But yeah, some other stuff I got. This is all from Games Radar. Grand Theft Auto 5 getting re-released version in 6 months. This article came out last week. But yeah, is Grand Theft Auto getting a re-release in 6 months? Apparently so. According to the DVD ASA podcast. The show, which is described by their iTunes page as a lifestyle, relationship, and entertainment podcast for young adults. Jesus, sounds like some sort of Christian-based thing. With the primary goal of helping youth with relationships, sexuality, gaming, and career problems. It does sound like a bloody some sort of Christian thing. Featuring hosts David Cho and Asa Akira. Is that? Do I know that? No, that's the porn star. And this week they let slip that their regular guest Money Mark was working on GTA 5, which doesn't make sense with the game having come out already. Money Mark is in New York right now. Cho explained before he was cut off. He says, "What?" She asked, "Wait, are we allowed to talk about it?" She asked. He's part of Grand Theft Auto. Cho said, as the rest of the people on the podcast laughed. How is that a secret? He's playing in the Grand Theft Auto band in a game that's out right now. No, but it's out in 6 months. Yeah, it's this little bullshit. It could be something real. We don't know. I mean, I've never heard of this fucking show anyway. But. You know, could be there could be something to it. I don't know, but I mean, choice. If they do re-release it, it's probably going to be because of because of all the fixes and patches, and they'll probably just re-release it anyway. Why would you need to re-release a game just specifically for the offline players when all the problems that we are having are with the online game? I don't get that, to be honest, but. Whatever. All right, 1 sec. Let me try and find. Done with the Sony stuff. I'll just move on to the some Microsoft stuff. Then I'll go through some other bits and pieces. Tons of stuff here. Here we go. Yeah, this would be interesting. Got some games road art. Steven Gerrard and Spock star in Xbox One marketing campaign. I haven't even watched the video yet, but I'll talk about it for briefly now. But yeah, Microsoft has kicked off its Xbox One marketing campaign with a new commercial featuring England football's captain Steven Gerrard and Star Trek actor Zachary Quinto, titled Invitation. The campaign beckons consumers to join the Xbox One party. The official blurb reads, this is an invitation to a new generation where your games and entertainment are no longer separated, but together in one. This is an invitation for all-in-one Xbox One jump ahead. Sources told The Guardian that the cost of the Xbox One advertising blitz, which will span TV, cinema, radio, digital, social and retail marketing, will exceed $100 million, about £62 million. Games featured in the debut commercial include Xbox One exclusives, Forza 5, Dead Rising 3, Rise of Rome, and Titanfall. Xbox One will launch in 30 markets on November 22nd, in, 2013, priced at £430, $500 and €500. But yeah, I would say it's, less than a month away now. I want one, but once that price, you're taking a piss. Especially with a Kinect, you're taking the piss even more. I want both consoles. I want to play, hang on, just try and find some other bits and pieces. When I do go through the news, it's just trying to find some stuff. It's just bits and pieces. Here we go. Yeah, Titanfall. I just talked about that. Yeah, I think we've got a release date now for it. Titanfall drops into stores on March 11th, 2014. So, I mean, they come out with all these games, but half of them, the ones we do want, which is Titanfall, that's not out for another 4 months. 5 months. Titanfall, the fast-paced action online shooter debut from Respawn Entertainment and Electronic Arts, will arrive March 11th, 2014. The company's announced today it will release simultaneously on PC, Xbox 360, The company's announced it will release simultaneously on PC, Xbox 360, and Xbox One. I thought this wasn't coming to Xbox One, Xbox 360. Oh, well, fuck it then. I'm buying this on the Xbox 360 then. The game made by several former members of Call of Duty, including creator Infinity Ward, puts players on the either side of a futuristic war waged by agile jetpack-equipped infantry and two-story mechs called Titans. It blends campaign and multiplayer modes by making each online match into a dynamic part of a wider narrative, complete with NPCs squawking over radios and shifting objectives. I'm hoping for this. I'm going to post this link in the chat because you lot have got to see the fucking collector's edition that we're getting for this. He asked about the gameplay footage for next gen. Yeah, I mean, stuff we're seeing from Titanfall, that's all next gen. You already know that the sort of thing you be... Hang on. If you already know that's the sort of thing you'd be into, you may want to check out the Titanfall Collector's Edition, available for pre-order now. The $250 package comes with a 190-page art book, a Titan schematic poster, an 18-inch Atlas Titan statue with diorama and battery-powered LED lighting, perfect for dystopian nativity scenes. The game was first revealed in June through leaks and teasers from Respawn hinted at Titanfall's development way back in as far back as 2011. But yeah, I want to see them. I'd love to see them make this how they want it. Jetpack infantry, two-story mech. It blends campaign and multiplayer modes by making each online match into a dynamic part of a wider narrative. I would love to see them make this work like fully, and other people take this on board. I'm gonna say I loved Infinity Ward when it was Infinity Ward. You know, I mean, the second Call of Duty Modern Warfare, that sucked balls. But the first Call of Duty, you know, Call of Duty 4, was amazing. I mean, it was one of the best multiplayer experiences I've ever had. But yeah, I say, I'm looking forward to this. I really want to play it. And fuck, it's coming on the 360. Fuck it, I'm buying on 360. That's the thing. It's like, I want to play stuff like this, but I don't want to, you know, pick up a... That's what's quite good about, you know, I moan about, you know, I want to play next-gen console games, but we've still got the, you know, your 360 stuff, and we've got, you know, so Watch Dogs, Titanfall, which supposedly they're saying is coming to 360, which I thought was only an Xbox One exclusive. We're still getting these good games coming onto the consoles we have now compared to the next gen. I mean, Destiny is still coming to everything that's moving with a console. You know, I'm looking forward to it. I really want to play this. I mean, I actually did watch the trailer the other day, and I have a big giant, as I said many times, I have a big giant screen TV, and I'm looking forward to playing this. Let's go into some of this. I've had this for a while. This is from IGN. This article came out in September. BioWare talks next Mass Effect on Twitter. A number of BioWare employees have mentioned on Twitter that the next Mass Effect game is being shown internally at BioWare, albeit without revealing much of anything about the game itself. Mass Effect executive producer Casey Hudson said on September 10th, in a milestone review for the next Mass Effect game, the team is doing outstanding work. Looks beautiful, fun, ambitious, and Mass Effect-y. Following that was another enthusiastic tweet, this one from BioWare's community manager Jessica Merizan. Watching absolutely stunning work from Mass Effect team, goosebumps. Such a passionate, talented group of devs. Can't wait to say more. So, you know, we're getting a new Mass Effect, as you know, we probably already knew anyway, compared to the if you chose the bad ending from 3. A pair of tweets from Yannick Roy, the studio's director of BioWare's Montreal studio, which is developing the next Mass Effect game, were the only ones to give us any semblance of information about the game, and it won't come as welcome news. After stating yesterday, the rest of BioWare finally got a first look at the next Mass Effect. Their reaction tells me we're on the right track. Roy was asked when we'd be hearing more. To that he responded, sadly, it probably will still be a while before we show anything publicly. I'm wondering when. But back in June, Roy offered some hope to fans worrying about this game, particularly far from release. He said, don't worry, we have a huge, large, talented team. We've started a while ago. We are borrowing a lot of game systems from Dragon Age Inquisition. He clarified that this means that since we share the game engine, we can start from some of Inquisition's core systems instead of from scratch. So basically using the engine that's, you know, using with the Dragon Age Inquisition, which actually does look really, really good, for the next Mass Effect. Whenever we do start to learn more about the next Mass Effect, don't count on it being called Mass Effect 4. BioWare said earlier this year we'd be doing the game a disservice to call it Mass Effect 4, in part because it made abundantly clear that Commander Shepard's story came to an end with Mass Effect 3. Once BioWare begins to talk about the future of Mass Effect officially, what are you hoping they'll... Oh, so this is just the usual bullshit. But yeah, I'm a big Mass Effect fan. I loved all three of the games. I mean, 3 was kind of shitty towards the end because it sort of... I mean, we went all the way through the choices that we made, how we wanted Shepard to be with the characters and that sort of relationships. And then they just sort of, you know, shot us down a narrow path and said, well, you can do this. You can't do that. You have to do this. But I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing what we are going to be have with Mass Effect. I'm going to say this now. I don't think we're going to hear about the new Mass Effect, because I'm not going to call it Mass Effect 4. I'll just say the new Mass Effect. The new Mass Effect, I don't think we're going to see E3 next year. We might get teasers towards the end of next year, But it's going to be a few years. I mean, they've already been working on this for a little while. So I'm thinking maybe, hang on, what year is it? 2013. I'm thinking, Matt says that Titanfall footage is grounds and direction. No shit. Matt, the Division, that's next gen. We've seen tons of stuff, you know. I mean, fucking, you know, me and you, when the Division comes out, me and you both are going to play that game. But yeah, I say, the next Mass Effect, I mean, we won't see it till 2015, I think. That's what I'm going to say. E3, 2015, you know, a couple of years into the console's life cycle. They've had some time to play around with it. Dragon Age Inquisition would have came out. They would have, you know, messed around with that. We'll see how it goes. They would, you know, finish off that game. All working on the new Mass Effect. Can't wait. It's going to be good. Let's try and find some more stuff to talk about. Sorry about that. So I wanted to talk about that for a while, but it's just other stuff that I've had to do and just, you know. Yeah, here we go. Destiny. Bunch of stuff here. Destiny, this is from my Games Radar. Destiny releasing in spring 2014. Destiny is coming in spring of 2014. If you want to get your hand, get it on Bungie's online shooter, a bit early, you can pre-order the game at, particular retailers to promptly access to the beta. In beta coming, 2014 on PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, Xbox 360, and Xbox One. Until then, you can check out the latest Luna gameplay trailer, which, if you're not in the Facebook group, you know, get yourself in the Facebook group, facebook.com/MLRGamerLobby. The trailer is in there, just have to scroll down because it's been a while. But yeah, it's a really good trailer. You won't have to go far. Astronomically speaking, to find one of humanity's greatest threats in Destiny, our old friend, the moon has come down with a nasty alien infestation, and the Guardians figure out if it's about time to apply some ass-kicking ointment. The trailer shows the subterranean Lunarian, with a question mark, lair of the extraterrestrial threat, and how players can mix gunplay with stylish crowd-clearing abilities to clear out the corridors. Speaking of corridors, we hope Destiny doesn't take us back to the early days of Halo, endless identical alien bases. Maybe, we don't know. But, I mean, you know, I'm a bit worried when it comes to the moon, because it's like, well, we have the whole open world to play around with, but now you've given us all this sort of stuff. I'm worried. But, I mean, I can't wait to play the game. The game's going to be amazing. There was something just kicked in my head that I know that I want to have a talk about, but I just can't remember where the fuck I found it. Here we go, yes. Call of Duty comes out next week, and the trailer's in the Facebook group as well. They're adding aliens to Call of Duty. Alien extraction mode teased for Call of Duty Ghosts. I'll read the article and then I will, you know, rant and rave. A new Call of Duty Ghost mode called Extraction was seemingly leaked over the weekend before being officially teased by Infinity Ward. Screenshots posted online by Reddit user Smix. I don't know. I tried to read Reddit and literally I'd rather have more luck looking at the code in the Matrix. Suggested the mode sees players battling an alien infestation. Players can choose between four types of soldiers: a tank, weapon specialist, a medic, and an engineer. Advised to mix up the composition of teams. While there are no official, basically one person's each character. While there are no official details, Extinction would appear to be an online horde co-op mode designed to rival Treyarch's popular zombie offering. No fucking shit. I mean, I've seen the trailer. It is basically that. It's, you know, Treyarch had zombies. Now Infinity Ward has aliens. It looks kind of meh. But, I mean, we're probably going to have a bunch of fun with it when we do get to play it. But I just don't see the point. It's like, yeah. I mean, I do want to do, I'm going to post a question and think about, tacked on modes like we're getting with games, and hopefully I'll get some answers from people. But yeah, I do want to know about sort of tacked on modes that we're getting, you know, Treyarch with the zombies and now Infinity War with the fucking aliens. I don't know. After various websites picked up on the images and began running stories about them, the official Call of Duty Twitter account leaked that this Instagram video, there's a video here, but I've seen it anyway, it features a smoky skull that has been used to promote the games morphing into an alien one. The accompanying text reads, "Survive the extinction," and there's a bunch of hashtags. Yeah, so Call of Duty Ghosts come out next Tuesday. See, I'll ask JJ Stoner what he thinks about this, because I mean, I know he's a big COD fan, but yeah, I say, I don't see the point of all these tacked on modes. It's like, just make the main story, make your online mode, which basically most people play online anyway. I play the story. I mean, I'm a big story person, but yeah, I mean, I want to know why do they need to add all these stupid tacked on modes? I mean, I've seen the multiplayer for the Batman Arkham Origins game. It looks okay. It's literally 3v3, and then you've got against Batman and Robin. I can't really criticize it or say it because I haven't played it, but it does. It's like all these tacked on modes. I mean, with Dead Space 2, we had that tacked on shitty multiplayer. I mean, even in 3, we had the co-op thing, which kind of worked, but it didn't feel very connected. I mean, I know me and Stuart played that fucking thing to death. But yeah, I don't know. It comes to all these multiplayer modes that we have that we don't need, and I don't know. All right, let's find something else. There's a bunch of Square Enix stuff here that I want to talk about, but I might save that till next week. Some stuff here from the new Thief game. Got some games radar. Thief's XP system canned after fan complaints. Scroll down. Thief has taken lumps from serious fans worried about the reboot. Reboot will stray too far from the subdued stealthy roots. But thanks in large part to fan feedback, one particular loathing mechanic is no more. Thief's XP system was first seen in the E3 demo, in which it gave Garrett 40 points of firing arrow into a guard's head. Game director Nick Canteen explains Eidos Montreal's motives behind the system and why it didn't make the cut in an official Q&A. At first we wanted to outline the progression of the player with XP, but it was reducing our motivation to steal, Canteen said. The main goal of Thief should be to gain loot. Garrett is already he's already the master thief, so we saw no need to have XP as a core mechanic. You should have like payable upgrades instead of XP, to be honest. I'll tangent slightly to Batman. It's quite funny. It's like, you're only XP to unlock new combos and moves. I'm like, shit, it's Batman. He traveled around the world for 10 years learning all this stuff, and now I've got to earn XP so he can do moves that he should already know because he's Batman. That's kind of weird to me, to be honest. Lead level designer Daniel Winfield Schmidt, adding that signing XP to certain actions like killing a guard with a well-placed arrow instead of slipping by undetected didn't make players feel they were at liberty to choose any path they desired. Fans might be... that can work, to be honest. You can have XP for doing certain things. I'm fucking lisping here. You can have XP for doing certain things killing-wise, but then... I mean, maybe it can't work. I was just thinking, maybe it's like XP you get from being stealthy, but you'd have to do it at the end of a level. And I don't know. You just get your whole XP in one big lump sum rather than if you did it from killing guards and that sort of stuff, like getting it as you progress through each each mission that you were doing. But I don't know. Fans might be surprised how often their devs go to the forum to see how things are perceived in the real world. Winfield Schmidt said, "This feedback is extremely valuable to us. So as you can imagine, the consistent reaction to the XP system was something that indicates we need to revisit some redesign decisions. With XP gone, Gold is back in the center stage, both as an intrinsic goal and as a means to upgrade and diversify your equipment, hide your valuables, city dwellers. Yeah, that's basically what it should be. You should have never have changed it in the first place. I mean, that's the thing. If it's not broke, don't fix it. I mean, I've never played a Thief game, but I have been a big admirer of what you can do. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, people didn't like the second Deus Ex game, Invisible War. I loved it because of what you could do. It's not, you know, if it works on what you can do, don't try and add something that makes it different. I mean, Thief, it's about stealing. It's about sneaking around. It's about being like a ninja, you know, a bit hiding in the darkness, that sort of stuff. But you don't want, you know, you don't want it to be, you know, killing guards and stuff. I mean, it goes back to, you know, what I said earlier with this week's topic about the morality of how we play a game. It's like, yes, you can do this sort of stuff. I mean, to us, the Assassin's Creed games, it would be nice if I could sort of just randomly kill people to do whatever. I mean, yes, GTA is, I can do that in GTA, no problem. But it would be, you know, it would be interesting, to be honest. Okay, here we go. This is a slightly older topic from Games Radar. THQ remains sue EA and UFC over licensing deals. The legal remnant of THQ is suing Electronic Arts and UFC parent company Zuffa, and it could heavily impact the development of EA Sports UFC. The lawsuit alleges EA used confidential information about the THQ's ailing franchises to encourage Zuffa to end its UFC distributed licenses arrangements to begin its relationships with EA. This is from Polygon Reports. EA was privy to that information when it briefly considered purchasing THQ late in 2011. The lawsuit states, but EA said it was no longer interested in the deal. A few weeks later, Zuffa said that Zuffa paid THQ $10 million to cancel its UFC license and transfer the rights to EA in June of 2012. THQ alleges that the franchise was worth at least twice that much to EA. Zuffa was compelled to make the deal after EA shared THQ's private financial information, which Zuffa would not otherwise have been able to access. Thus, the transfer should not have been permitted under US bankruptcy law, and only came about because of EA's interference, THQ says. Now, THQ wants $10 million in damages to nullify the transfer of the rights and recover the franchise value, including profits from EA Sports UFC. EA told Polygon that it believes the claims are without merits and THQ refuses to comment. So, it's basically, you know, they said this, they said that. They might have helped somebody. I mean, just, I think EA was accused of this sort of stuff when it came to Call of Duty, you know, when it comes to actual in-game development, not profits. But, I mean, it's a fucking UFC game. Seriously? I mean, just, I couldn't give three shits about UFC. It's you know, a bunch of grown men in shorts, you know, greased up and beating the shit out of each other. You know, it's not my form of entertainment, but I mean, I know it sells well, but it's not something that's people. It's not something that's going to change the world. I mean, just more people give a shit about the NHL hockey series than they do the UFC stuff. Well, so I've got 15 minutes left before I have to finish, so we'll go into, okay, this is something I saw, which interested me. Rockstar working on the next version of a famous IP. I got this off IGN, this was came out about a week or so ago. Although it's unclear which of Rockstar's franchises he's referring to, an employee of a Rockstar support studio has revealed work is being done on the next version of a famous IP. In a Kotaku report, internet sleuth Superannuation discovered this on the LinkedIn profile of a Rockstar New England staffer, who was describing what Rockstar is at work on a post, is on his work at, on post GTA 5. The profile provides no further information as to the identity of the game. Hang on, let me scroll down. Assume it's a property of Rockstar. There are a number of possibilities, just like last month. Rockstar boss Dan Houser shared his interest in creating a new Bully game. Over the summer, a hint was dropped that Red Dead Redemption could actually see a sequel when Take-Two CEO Strauss Zelnick described Red Dead as a permanent franchise. And despite the closure of developer Team Bondi, the possibility of a sequel to L.A. Noire hasn't been ruled out. Well, I doubt it because, spoilers, the main character dies at the end. Given the way the statement was worded, the next version, in quotes, a web IP this is, this could be related to Grand Theft Auto. PC and next-gen versions of Grand Theft Auto 5 have been rumoured. It's too early for that. They want to take a break. They've just made it. The lack of official words, additional versions of the game could merely be an attempt to avoid losing out on sales rather than any interest in helping GTA 5, a 360 and PlayStation 3 only game. Other properties of Rockstar include Manhunt, Midnight Club, two series whose most recent entries came in 2007-2008, respectively. Rockstar has also had the Max Payne series, which saw a third game released last year. I'm saying the Red Dead, to be honest. I mean, Max Payne, the last game, I didn't like it. I mean, I'm not a fan of the Max Payne. I mean, I like what you could do in the real Max Payne games, but this new one's kind of shit, to be honest. Manhunt, I've never really been a fan of that. I've never played it. I don't care. Midnight Club, my mate's played that. He says he loves it, but there's so many, what's Matty posted? There's so many different, what's this on? What the hell's he posted? I don't know. So I'm just, Matty's just posting. I'll have a look at that later. But yeah, I say, I'm kind of cool a Red Dead sequel because I'd love a Red Dead sequel because Red Dead was amazing. But yeah, I mean, Midnight Club, maybe. But I mean, there's too many racing games coming out for the next gen consoles. You know, Microsoft has your Forza. I can't really see the sales being enough to cover the costing if Rockstar made a Midnight Club. I mean, a Bully, I don't think that was... There was a lot of talk about Bully, like, you know, bad talk and good talk, you know, bad and good press. But if they wanted to make a shit ton of money, I mean, considering that they already made a billion, so basically they can make a game and not worry about the losses. But if they wanted to make something that would sell shit tons, even more than maybe GTA, I'd say go for a Red Dead, and then you're sewing up your profits, and the shareholders will be happy. Your best option is to make a Red Dead sequel. You know, make it with John's son, because I mean, Red Dead was set literally at the turn of, was it the last century? You know, when cars started being made. But what would it mean to be a cowboy in, you know, early 20th century, that sort of lifestyle? Or would it be set before then with a different character? We don't know. But a Red Dead game with the next gen console, with the, you know, what we've seen from this current generation. What's he on about now? Matt's in the chat. Says, it's about mean people like you and your power. Oh, okay. Basically, the link he's just put out. Your power over the fate of small developer sales. Oh, I'll definitely have a read that later. Yeah. Sorry, I was trying to save this into my bookmarks. But yeah, I say, yeah, I want a Red Dead game would be sweet. It would definitely get everyone really happy, and you know, it's a, you know, Red Dead, it's a great fucking game, and you know, if you haven't played it, it's dead cheap. Go and buy it. All right, let's find some more stuff to finish off. There's tons of new articles to get through, and you know, bits and pieces. What else we got here? Okay. This might be something, maybe. No, I'm just looking at other stuff. Hang on, how big is this article? I don't want to sort of run over time and... No, here we go. Perfect. Yeah. got this from Kotaku, believe it or not. Gamers more numb to pain, others other misery, says scientist. This is I'm not sure what to make of this study. This is who's this by? This is Owen Good from Kotaku. It's basically some. He says I'm not too sure what to make of this study by researchers in Germany and Australia. On a literal level, RPG gamers are better than others at fishing paperclips out of a container of ice cold water. Scientists think that means they're sensitized either to pain or going further, important life events. The study recently published by the Journal of what the fuck is that? Psychonomic Bulletin and Review. I think I get the quarterly for that. Tested the reactions of those who played immersive video games, particularly RPGs. Participants were surveyed on how much time they spent each week playing video games. Then their pain tolerance was measured by the number of paper clips they could pull out of a container of very cold water. This is so bullshit. The performance, they performed the task again after playing video games. The immersive video games played exhibited a reduced sensitivity to pain and removed the significance, significantly more paper clips from ice cold water. Reports Science Daily Today. They were also more indifferent to people's depicted as experiencing displeasure than they were non-immersive players. The research from the University of Witten and Herdenk in Germany and Melbourne University of Australia connected this to a human performing the actions of a automaton-like avatar. In particular, Dr. Ulrich Wenger of Witten says it indicates a blurring of reality that comes from virtual environments where it's normal to regard computers and robots as functioning like human beings. Whether that is in conversation or action. Verga notes somewhat gravely that people should work on awareness of what it really means to be human. We should all look into how we can best make use of the beneficial applications of robotic or artificial intelligent advances, as to be able to use our freed up resources wisely, rather than becoming enslaved by those advances. It sounds like a bunch of scientists had a load of fucking free time. I mean, you know, it would be nice if there was a cure for cancer and AIDS and all this sort of shit. But no, they're working on about how you know, pain don't hurt. You know, because we're playing games, we're less immersive. You know, we're less subjected to pain. I mean, to be honest, maybe because we're thinking about other stuff. But I mean, you know, you see about all the martial arts stuff. You know, breaking bricks and wood and shit like that, and you know. Doing that so it doesn't hurt, and you know, that's because you put your mind somewhere else. That's probably what's happening with us lot. It's like, I mean, half the time, wow, shit, I've only got a few more minutes left, so I'll have to finish this off quickly. I mean, it's most of the time my mind wanders. I mean, usually when I'm at work, I'm standing around for good 9-10 hours. I literally I'm sort of thinking about Pokemon. I'm doing it now. I was like, well, think about next year's VGC, all the stuff that's coming out, the Pokemon teams that I want to build, that sort of stuff. But yeah, I say it's a bullshit story, to be honest. It's like, yeah, it's like scientists could have something that's better to do with themselves, but no, they want to work out on the pain tolerance of gamers. It's like, yeah, it's because we're thinking about other stuff. It's like, you know, most of the times, I do cut myself quite often, only so I can, feel the pain. When I do cut myself, I barely notice. I have a high tolerance of, is it a low tolerance? I mean, when I get cut or hurt myself, it's like, okay, whatever, it doesn't affect me. It's because, I'm not a 3-year-old kid. I mean, we're not going to be how we were. I mean, we cut ourselves when we were little kids. We were crying and screaming, running to mummy and daddy. We're grown-ups. We don't do that shit anymore because we have a higher tolerance because... Well, it'd look pretty fucking stupid if I scratched my knee and just sort of fell to the ground, started banging my fist and crying my eyes out. you know, it'd be a great video for YouTube. But yeah, it's, we have a high tolerance. It's just a thing as we do as we grow older. But I pulling paper clips out of ice cold water, what a fucking waste of time that is. But yeah, I say this pretty much wraps up the show. I hope you enjoyed listening. I've had a good show this week, actually, you know, quite good stuff. But yeah, so if you want to get in touch, I say you can Skype in. It's Antisocial Gamer Radio on Skype. If you want to ever email us, it's antisocialgamerradio@yahoo.co.uk. Also, if you want to join the Facebook group, I'm posting new trailers. I've seen some stuff for other bits and pieces that I've seen today that I want to post trailers of. Get in the Facebook group. It's facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby. Also, like us on Facebook. That really helps the Facebook pages, gets more attention, whatever. Facebook.com/antisocialgamerradio. And also, follow us on Twitter @MLRGamerRadio. So for all the UK listeners, back next week at the usual time, about 8 o'clock, you know, and, you know, 3 p.m. Eastern as usual. Coming up next, it's Tuesday. We got, Unsigned Hype, Alcohol by Volume, and I need to finish the whiskey in my glass. And also we had Dutch and Royce, you know, usual Tuesday, awesome, you know, awesome lineup. Yeah, I say a bunch of stuff coming up next week. I'm going to talk about Assassin's Creed, and I don't know if I'm going to bother with Call of Duty. I don't know. I want to, but I don't. I'm all over the place. But I need to stop now before the time runs out. But I say, see you all next week. I'm going to have a curry and finish off this whiskey, and I'll see you all again next week. Bye.
Actually brought anything to the table?
Oh my god, hey, what a sure. Bag of burden that British piece of shit was. Holy
a
shit.
A woman can pilot.
From everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
The area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or northwest, or northeast or east, occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or poor, becoming moderate or good.